Trey in the morning.
Gargano and Martinez, middays.
Missanelli afternoons.
This is the sports voice of the new Philadelphia.
97.5 The Fanatic. Burlington, Philadelphia. Broadcasting live from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. The Birds are riding a two-game win streak for the first time this season. The win on Monday night against the Redskins have them at 6-6. One game behind the Dallas Cowboys. The Birds travel to Dallas this coming Sunday with the NFC East on the line. It's the Sal Pal Football Hour, live from the Mifflin Tavern, 1843 South 2nd Street in South Philly. Now here's your host, Sal Pal Antonio.
Yes, it is the Sal Pal Football Hour. We are live from the Mifflin Tavern, Mifflin Tavern, 1843 South 2nd Street in South Philadelphia. The South Pal Football Hour is presented by Sterling Vineyards and Behringer Wines, and we can go on and on about this football game, but it says it all. When you go outside right here on Mifflin Street and you see the fantastic Philly Special mural, did you see it on the side of the building? It is absolutely spectacular. Second in Mifflin, if you haven't come out here and taken a photograph with it, it's a beautiful, beautiful sight. It's Cowboys week. Eagles at the Cowboys, so we're going to have a live report from the Cowboys locker room from down in Dallas very shortly from an excellent reporter who covers the team full-time, Todd Archer, a good friend of mine from ESPN, will join us live to give us the latest on what's going on with the Cowboys. This is going to be a dogfight. It's a four-point line between the Eagles and the Cowboys, so we've got to know all the inside information on the Dallas Cowboys. They lead the division, but the Eagles are going down to Dallas to take the fight to them. 610-632-0975 to talk to Sal Pal Football Hour. 610-632-0975. Doug Peterson addressed the media day after the game today, and there were quite a few issues to talk about after that game against the Washington Redskins. The most important thing that I thought that came out of it was the way the offense played against a very good Redskins defense. A Redskins defense that has talent on the front seven and talent on the back end. All you got to do is look at what Josh Norman did at the goal line. They got after Carson Wentz twice last year, and I thought Carson Wentz did a terrific job for the first time really all season since coming back from the knee injury of getting outside the pocket. You've probably heard the numbers already, but I'm going to repeat them for you because they're so important. They really were a watershed moment for Carson Wentz coming back from that knee injury. Outside the pocket last night, 6 of 7, 100 yards, most passing yards outside the pocket in that young man's young career in the National Football League. So you know it was an important moment for him and the way he has played coming back from the knee injury. 3 for 3 outside the pocket to Golden Tate, including a touchdown passing. Extraordinarily encouraging, considering that Golden Tate has only been with the team since October 30th. Zach Ertz, 2 for 2 to Zach Ertz. 2 targets, 2 catches outside the pocket. 1 for 1 to Nelson Aguilar. So, you know, there's a lot of talk, and we'll talk to Timmy Mack later in the show. And it was Timmy Mack who asked Doug Peterson, where do you come down on the thought that tight end Zach Ertz is getting targeted too much, which apparently is felt at least partially in your locker room? And here was Doug Peterson's answer about that.
As long as we win the game, you know, as long as we win the game. I mean, listen, he's a tremendous tight end, and he's doing some great things. And we know that he and Carson are on the, you know, on the same page right now. And I think one of the things, too, last night, you know, the ball got spread around quite a bit, and which was exciting to see and good to see. And I think that's that balance, that mix, even in the run game, that you got to have, even, you know, in the passing game, is have that mix. And listen, Zach's a... he's playing at an extremely high level right now. So bottom line, and I know everybody in that locker room, bottom line is they want to win the game. And however it gets done, we get it done.
Zach Ertz is going to be in the Pro Bowl. He, right now, to me, he is your all-pro tight end in the National Football League. He had 10 targets last night. Carson Wentz hit him 9 out of 10, but only for 83 yards. So it's an average of about 9.2 per catch. So that's why you go out and get Golden Tate. You want to get more explosive plays. You want to get some more yards after the catch. And Golden Tate targeted 7 times last night, had a little coming out party. 7 receptions for 85 yards, an average of 12 yards per catch. And he had a long of 32. Zach Ertz's long was only of 20. You know, you have to have explosive plays. You have to have more shot plays. Go back to the Super Bowl. Right at the beginning of the game, Alshon Jeffrey, shot play down the field, loosened everything up, touchdown against the Patriots for Alshon Jeffrey. So it's important to have that kind of balance, not only offense for the running game and passing game, but within your passing game. That's why you go out and invest a third-round pick in Golden Tate. And Golden Tate has played so well against the Dallas Cowboys in his history. To me, I was asked on Channel 6 last night. I was with Jamie Apodi and Deuces Rogers right after the game on Channel 6, on Channel 6 Sports. And they talked a lot about Zach Ertz. And I said, listen, this was a game where they finally got Golden Tate involved. And it's very important that you have Golden Tate involved because he plays well against the Cowboys. He's going to play well on that turf. And what you're seeing now is more offensive consistency develop because Carson Wentz is getting more comfortable outside the pocket. He's always been very good at it. Last year was terrific at an MVP level, moving outside the pocket, throwing on the run. But the bottom line is he's got to absolutely get more people involved than Zach Ertz. Everybody on the team knows that. Up to this point, it's only been Zach Ertz has been getting open, but they're getting more consistency. And that's the bottom line. And here's Doug Peterson talking about, you know, getting more consistency and making plays, especially when you're down at the goal line and you don't cash in.
Well, we didn't score. I mean, that's the downside. We didn't score. We had an opportunity. We had several, you know, drives that kind of stalled down there. But I know we ended up. We ran the ball a couple of times. The last one was just a failure to communicate up front, and we just missed a block on the perimeter. Not saying it would have got us in the end zone, but it would have given us a better opportunity down there. You know, I look back at it, and you know, maybe could have put Carson on the move. You can speculate the whole thing, but it was part of our game plan to have that play in. We just failed to execute on that last play. Something we'll fix, and given another opportunity, we'll be better the next.
You know, he was talking obviously on the decision to go for it, and then the poor execution on the block that allowed an unblocked defender to come in and stop them cold. You know, didn't agree with the decision. I thought he should have taken the 3 points. And, of course, I didn't like the play call itself. That was clearly an example where they could have gone play action and let Carson Wentz boot into the end zone, and he would have had a clear path there because he can outrun a linebacker who was unblocked. 610-632-0975. We're going to have a live report from the Cowboys locker room shortly on the Sal Pal Football Hour. We're live from the Mifflin Tavern. Great place. 1843 South 2nd Street in South Philadelphia, presented by Sterling Vineyards and Behringer Wines. And the last cut that I want to play from Doug Peterson is, you know, where this win stands now psychologically for this team in terms of the overall play of the football team and where they're headed. And I want to share with you coming out of this three important vignettes that I saw last night that I observed in the game and after the game that will really tell tale about where this team is headed. Let's play this one.
It's a lot of confidence moving forward. And it was really good to see, you know, last night to come out and put that drive together to start to look, you know, the run and pass kind of ratio, and then eventually finish off with a score. You know, and it's things that offensively have just kind of missed. We've missed on a couple of things, whether it's execution or it could be, you know, play designed by me or, you know, whatever, the call. But just last night, things kind of came together. I think the guys have really, they've taken it upon themselves, to kind of clean up a lot of things, you know, and spend more time, I want to say spend more time, but just focusing on the details, on the little things. And when you do that, great things are going to happen. So it's a confidence builder moving forward that we're capable of doing that.
One of the biggest confidence builders that I saw was obviously the touchdown by Darren Sproles. You know, and the first vignette that I saw, and I asked Doug Peterson about this after the game, was Doug, and he rarely does this, he went over to the bench where Sproles was sitting, and Sproles a very, very quiet guy. Not a big rah-rah guy at all. Big, big, important leader on this team, even when he was injured last year during the Super Bowl. And Peterson went over to him and talked to him, got right up and close and personal with him, and you know, they shared a moment there. And I asked Peterson about it after the game, and he said, you know, that was an important moment, not only for Darren Sproles, but for the football team, because they understand what he went through, the grinding that he went through, not only to rehab last year, but to come back from the injury week one. And it kind of personifies the team itself. And he said him getting into the end zone was an inspiration, kind of lifted everybody on the football team because he's so well respected. Now let's go down to Dallas. My good friend Todd Archer, who covers the Cowboys for ESPN.com, NFL Nation reporter. He just got out of the Cowboys locker room, the open locker room period for Tuesday down there in Dallas. Todd, tell me what you can, tell me something I need to know about, tell Eagles fans what they need to know about this Cowboys team, where they are psychologically right now.
Yeah, Tyrone Crawford, one of their defensive captains, was one of the guys available to us today, and a big theme or a big message that he was trying to push was, look, we're 7-5 in first place, but our backs are still against the wall. That's how we have to continue to play. This is how we got in this position. And Eagles fans know this. Everybody who knows this about the Cowboys, there have been times where they've, you know, to quote Parcells, they've eaten the cheese, right? They felt good about themselves and let games slip and let moments slip. But, you know, his as one of the leaders, he's really taken it upon himself with the other guys in the leadership council to make sure that these guys know, as young as they are, that these opportunities don't come around very often, and they still have to play the same way they did when they were 3-5 and still have that same sense of urgency.
So they're recalibrating themselves so they don't feel it too much, knowing that, you know, it could slip away real easily because the Eagles have won two straight. And they did come in here and beat the Eagles, especially in the fourth quarter of that game. You were here that night. I remember talking to you prior to that game, and you were a bit skeptical about the Cowboys being able to turn it around. And, you know, we had a moment and talked about it a little bit. But as you look at that game in Philadelphia, what was it about that game that allowed the Cowboys to regather themselves?
I think they found their formula. And what worked in 2016, what worked to a degree in 2014 with DeMarco Murray a couple years ago with Ezekiel Elliott, where they're able to run the ball, but they were able to make some plays, be effective in the passing game. They're never going to be a team where they throw it for 300 yards and look really flashy. But I think they found their passing game with Amari Cooper, and it just took them a little bit extra time. They had their bye week. They had the Monday night game. It just took them another week or so to kind of get, to use the word you just did, about calibrated into what they wanted to be offensively. And they've kind of continued that to where Cooper has opened up things for Zeke in the run game. Dak is being efficient and not turning the ball over. And they're able to, I don't want to say maximize possessions, but get back to that time of possession deal that works so well for them. Keep that defense fresh. And it's the same thing that really when Jason Garrett's had success here, Sal, that's been their formula. Run the ball, control the clock, control the tempo of the game, and the defense takes the ball away and makes some big plays.
All right, Todd Archer, Todd Archer just literally walked out of the Cowboys locker room down in Dallas to talk to us on the Sal Powell Football Hour. Thank you for doing that, Todd. So let's explore that point a little bit further, because I was listening to Troy Aikman talk about the Cowboys and what Amari Cooper did for the Cowboys, and he said what he has seen is that defenses are not playing the Cowboys much differently with regard to stacking the box against Elliott. I beg to differ. What I have seen is, in fact, they are playing a little bit differently. They are keeping a safety nosed on Cooper that normally wouldn't be involved in pass defense, and that has opened things up a little bit for Ezekiel Elliott, especially in off-tackle runs.
Yeah, I think I'm sure there are numbers that can be documented in terms of 8-man boxes and 7-man and 6-man, things like that. But I think what it's allowed the Cowboys to do is almost use the pass to set up the run. And that's kind of made life easier for them, where it's not just beat your head against the wall, beat your head against the wall. And that's kind of what it was the first 7 weeks when people looked at their outside receivers and said, there's no threat here. We don't need to worry about these guys. Even if they make a play, hey, fine. But now if you have Cooper out there making a play, going 90 yards on Thanksgiving for a touchdown, that has to affect the defense. And it's given Zeke more time or more ability to maybe have things open up later in the game, because they have been more efficient in the passing game early on, where the first 7 weeks they weren't. And I think another thing about this team, Sal, is they changed offensive line coaches too. And they've gotten back to the runs that worked well for Zeke in 2016 when he led the league in rushing, played a full season. They've gone back to that with Mark Colombo as opposed to what they had with Paul Alexander. Pass protection still needs to be shored up, but their run game has been much better in this four-game winning streak, to where they look more like they did in 2016.
To me, Elliott, top three back in the National Football League. You know, he's deceptive in his ability to stay upright, considering his size. I mean, he's not a bulldozer of a back, but he's very good at slipping tackles, as the Eagles witnessed in the fourth quarter at Lincoln Financial Field. And without a healthy Jordan Hicks, the Eagles' middle linebacker, this is problematic for them. They're going to have to do a better job, I think, the Eagles, in their front four and their defensive tackles, but also on the perimeter of tackling Zeke Elliott, which they had problems with. And a lot of teams have problems with, Todd. But let's go back. Let's go back to Dak Prescott, if I could. We're talking about talking to Todd Archer, who's good enough to come out of the Cowboys locker room and give us a live report. Where is Dak Prescott right now in terms of, okay, he's in year three, and there's been lots of question marks about him. I talked to him after that game one-on-one Monday night, and he seems to really have emerged from that game with a lot of confidence.
He's definitely playing a lot more confidently. He's not turning the ball over. And I think, as I said about Cooper, Cooper can win by himself. He doesn't need the scheme to get him open. He's not a guy that you need to, like with Dez back in the day, right, where it's just, hey, throw it up and Dez will go make a play. Those are hard throws for quarterbacks, especially young quarterbacks that have to learn that trust. He's a guy that's creating separation just with his route running. And the Cowboys really haven't had that kind of guy here in a long, long time. So that's helped him. And I think the one thing that he's staying away from the turnovers. I think he's gone four or five games now without an interception. He's fumbling too much. He's taking too many sacks.
Yes.
So there's still moments where you wonder, okay, what is this guy? Because you look at the numbers, they're okay. Like at 9 touchdowns and no interceptions, that's like Mahomes. That's a good 2-week stretch for him. But for Dak, that's what he's done in the last four. But at the end of the day, the dude wins. And that's going to be the hardest part for Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones. What do you pay him? What do you come up with? Because it's not he's not going to be a statistical guy where you can measure him against this guy who's making $20 million, this guy who's making $25 million. But at the end of the day, he wins games, and he might have the Cowboys in the playoffs for the second time in 3 years. So you're seeing positive signs, but it's still, there still has to be a question about what he can be in the long term in terms of a quarterback that moves into that next tier, the top tier level of guys. I don't know if he's ever going to be that guy, but he wins games, and that's what Jerry cares about most.
Well, it's going to be a rowdy party down there in Dallas on Sunday night. Todd Archer, congratulations on making your successful debut on the Sal Pal Football Hour.
I hope you have me back, Sal. I appreciate it.
I definitely will. Todd Archer, good enough to join us, coming right out of the Dallas Cowboys locker room to give us an update on the Cowboys and where they are. It's Dallas week. Eagles at Dallas, and it's a 4-point line. It's a very winnable game for both football teams. It's a Sal Pal Football Hour. The number is 610-632-0975. We're live from the Mifflin Tavern. Nice little place. Great food. 1843 South 2nd Street in South Philadelphia. Let's talk to Mike in Flowertown. Mike, you're on the Sal Pal Football Hour. How are you, brother? What's going on?
How you doing, Sal? I haven't talked to you in a long time.
What's happening?
That most important word you said was fight, and we're going down there to fight. And one of these things I want to ask you was, why didn't the Dallas Cowboys, 3 quarters of football to New Orleans, they couldn't score anything? three quarters.
Yeah, I think the New Orleans defense had a pretty good game plan for the Cowboys. Sean Payton knows that offense inside and out. He coached in Dallas under Bill Parcells. He knows Jason Garrett. They were on the same staff together. So he knows that defense, and they had a very good game plan for the Cowboys. And Jim Schwartz has got to look at that. They went after Dak Prescott, and they caused a lot of disruption. And as Todd Archer just reported, as we all have seen, you can get the ball out of Dak Prescott's hands. And that, to me, is on the defensive side of the ball, is going to be very important. Attack, attack, attack. And when I talked to Chris Long last night after the game, I said, is the fight back in this football team? And he said, it was never gone. But now we got some confidence back. We're getting guys healthy, and we're going to take the fight to the Dallas Cowboys. Listen, I got a great nugget for you. It's the best jeweler store in Philadelphia where all the young couples are going to get engaged. Golden Nugget Jewelers. Golden Nugget Jewelers has the largest selection of engagement rings and is the only store in Philly to carry designer brands such as Tacori, Verragio, Simon G, Michael M, Jeff Cooper, and more. They're open 7 days a week with the best price guarantee. They're located at, where else, of course, 8th and Chestnut, right at the Hart Jewelers Row, right on the corner there. Golden Nugget Jewelers is the official jeweler of the Sixers, the Flyers, and, of course, it is the official jeweler of the Philadelphia Eagles. You can shop online at goldennuggetjewelry.com. That's goldennuggetjewelry.com. But the best thing you can do, of course, is check out their beautiful showroom, corner of 8th and Chestnut, right in the heart of Jewelers Row. Make the most important moment of your life exactly what you dreamed it would be at Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. It's the Sal Pal Football Hour. We're live at Mifflin Tavern. Coming up, a national expert on the Cowboys who's got a brand new book about the team, the history of the team, and he knows the team inside and out. We're going to try to get more insight into the current Cowboys team and where they are and what the Eagles are going to be facing on Sunday night. We'll be right back.
This is the Sal Pal Football Hour on 97.5, The Fanatic.
When you're faced with heart valve disease, you don't have time to stop and catch your breath. Your life is on the line, so it's go time. And the good news is, you don't have to search far for a team to stand by your side. At Penn Medicine, our cardiologists and surgeons are the region's most experienced in using advanced tools and technologies to repair or replace your heart valve. We've pioneered incredible breakthroughs in heart valve treatments, from TAVR to robotic surgery, and we continue to develop and perfect the latest innovations in both minimally invasive and surgical heart valve procedures. With access to this care through our dedicated heart valve centers, backed by the region's number one heart program, you can stop struggling with valve disease and start enjoying the rest of your life wholeheartedly. Another reason your life is worth Penn Medicine. Learn more at pennheart.org/valve.
Fast is the nation's largest gig speed network. Beyond Fast is the complete reliability of 4G LTE backup. For a limited time, switch to get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add 4G LTE backup and one voice line. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond Fast.
Offerings 12/21/18. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Connection pro backup limited up to 6 hours and requires Comcast Business Internet.
Wendy's knows when it comes to fries, the more the better. Because people just can't get enough of their favorite hamburger sidekick. So for a limited time, Wendy's is giving you any size fry for just $1. That's a small, medium, even a large order of natural cut sea salted goodness for just $1. Any size you like for the same little price. But a deal this good won't last long. So get any size fry for $1 from Wendy's today.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time, a la carte only, excludes top fries. Price and participation may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
What does building a better bank look like? It starts with building Capital One cafes. Warm, inviting places that feel nothing like a typical bank. Where you can open an account with no fees or minimums in 5 minutes. And you'll always find people ready to help you, not sell you. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One NA member FDIC. Cafes available in select locations. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
Attention timeshare owners. Did some high-pressure salesperson twist your arm into buying a timeshare? Did they forget to mention that the vacation times you want will never be available, or that it will cost you more to use the timeshare than if you just booked online as a non-owner? I bet that salesperson also forgot to mention your fees will go up year after year after year. They misled you. It's not right, and it's not your fault. Whether you bought decades ago or days ago, we can help. Timeshare Freedom Group's Freedom Process has helped thousands of people get out of unwanted timeshares. Let us help you be free from your regrettable, overpriced, and unavailable timeshare. We are the leaders in the industry with decades of experience canceling timeshares worldwide, legally and permanently. That's why we offer a 100% money-back guarantee. Start the Freedom Process now by calling Timeshare Freedom Group at 855-765-CANCEL. That's 855-765-CANCEL. 855-765-CANCEL. Or come meet us face-to-face at your local office. TimeshareFreedomGroup.com.
Hey, Philly fans. Don't miss the 76ers battle the Raptors with your favorite broadcasters calling the shots on NBC Sports Philadelphia. The showdown starts at 7:30 on NBC Sports Philadelphia and the My Teams app.
Sports Talk for Sewell and all of Gloucester County.
97.5, The Fanatic. Now back to more of the Sal Pal Football Hour on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Yes, good evening. It's Sal Pal Football Hour, 97.5, The Fanatic. We're live from the Mifflin Tavern, a great place, 1843 South 2nd Street in South Philadelphia. Right across the street is a fantastic mural of Philly Special. Wall-sized mural, beautiful, perfectly executed in black and white. You got to come down here and see it, get your picture taken with it. I wasn't going to come back this quickly because I was enjoying these chicken parm egg rolls that are fantastic that they just served to me. Gary, I was going to have you hanging on the phone for a while I ate my chicken parm egg rolls. And if you come down to an Eagles game, the next time you come, you got to come to the Mifflin Tavern and get the chicken parm egg rolls. They're fantastic.
Well, I thought when you were leading into that, that you knew I loved chicken parm and you would have invited me to do the show in person with you. Which, for chicken parm egg rolls, I certainly would have driven down the Jersey Turnpike.
They're unbelievable. I got to tell you, I was sharing them with the crew for a while. And then after I had one, I was like, okay, I got to finish this myself. Gary Myers is with us. And he's written a book. It's a terrific book. I just dove into it. How About Them Cowboys? Inside the Huddle with the Stars and Legends of America's Team. Gary, I wanted you on the show on Cowboys Week for obvious reasons. What is the before I get to the game, because I want to dive into this matchup mm-hmm. with you, because you know you've studied the game as well as anybody has for decades. But the essence of the book about this Cowboys team for you is what?
Well, Sal, my initial premise was how can a team that hasn't been to a Super Bowl in 23 years continue to be the most popular team in the world? And the most valuable team in the world, where it's now worth $5 billion. And how does winning not correlate to popularity or how valuable a team is? And so that was my initial premise. But as I got into it, you know, and I spent 5 hours with Jerry Jones, and, you know, you've been around Jerry. When you spend 5 hours with him, you get at least five or six questions in. And I found that he was just so forthcoming about so many different things. That I think about 75% of the book is about taking the readers behind the scenes of how the Cowboys operate in the Jerry Jones era. And then because I worked in Dallas from 81 to 89, covering the Cowboys for the Dallas Morning News, I got into some of the stuff from the end of the Landry era and some other things that I found, you know, really interesting about the Cowboys and what's made them. I never used the term America's team when I lived in Dallas. I refused to do it, but now that I've been back in New York for almost 30 years. I almost use it somewhat derisively every time I refer to them.
Talking to Gary Myers, has written a book called How About Them Cowboys. I highly recommend it for any football fan, as my colleague Ed Werder wrote about Gary. Gary's the gold standard against which other Cowboys reporters are measured. How About Them Cowboys is a treasure box of fantastic stories from some of the most compelling figures in NFL history. And when I read the book, there's a lot of stuff here about the NFL in general, not only the Cowboys. But I want to get it, you know, the current the team that occupies the name America's team right now, in my view, is the Eagles, because, you know, they became sort of America's darling based on what they did last year as underdogs in Super Bowl 52, knocking off the big bad Patriots in the way that they did. And in, but in, they lost to the Cowboys. You went back and you looked at that game and you saw what happened, especially in the fourth quarter, with the Cowboys offense against the Eagles defense at Lincoln Financial Field a couple of weeks ago. When you went back and studied it, what did you see the Cowboys did against the Eagles that the Eagles have to be concerned about when they go down to Dallas this weekend?
Well, the Cowboys really got back to their roots in that game, and that means...
Is it as simple as that, Gary? Is it as simple as that?
Well, I mean, they had really, for whatever reason, had gotten away from it the week before in that dreadful loss to Tennessee, where I think Zeke only got the ball five times in the second half. And although the Cowboys' offensive line, as you know, Sal, is not what it was 2 years ago, and they really missed Travis Frederick, their best player is still Zeke Elliott. And he's good enough to make up for an offensive line that doesn't block as well or protect as well as it had a couple of years ago. Now, that being said, that was only the second game that they had Amari Cooper, and we saw, you know, how he exploded against Washington on Thanksgiving, and then the key role that he played when they upset the Saints the other day. So I think this is an evolving offensive team that the Eagles are going to face on Sunday in Dallas that is much more diversified now. That I think they throw the ball obviously much better because, you know, Cooper is just an elite wide receiver. And now it does take some of the pressure off and is backing up the linebackers a little bit to give Elliott a little more room to run. So what I saw in that game at the Link was just really taking the pressure off of Prescott, who had been turning the ball over a lot. And he still is somewhat with his fumbles, but he's not throwing interceptions anymore. And when in doubt, give it to Zeke.
We're talking to Gary Myers, New York Times best-selling author, book How About Them Cowboys, terrific book. And Gary's got a number of great books about the National Football League, which I highly recommend. But Gary, I want to go, and you covered the league for 25 plus years at the New York Daily. Oh, well, excuse me. 40 plus years. I wasn't trying to age you, Gary. I was trying to be charitable about it. But you did it for a long time, and you're a terrific insider covering the league. Let's go back to the Amari Cooper comment that you made. You know, they stole him from the Raiders, and we all know that Howie Roseman deserves a statue right down here in South Philadelphia for bringing the first Super Bowl title, but he whiffed on the trade for Cooper, only went as high as a second-round pick. What do you know about how the Cowboys jarred Amari Cooper loose from the Oakland Raiders?
Well, you know, Sal, it's really funny that you say that they stole him, and maybe you felt that way when they made the trade. You know, I didn't talk right after that. But the general consensus was that the Cowboys completely overpaid, that it was out of desperation. Cooper hadn't put up big numbers in 2 years. He was disinterested. He was dropping a lot of passes. And if the Cowboys were the only team willing to give up a number one pick for him, that other teams like Philly were trying to get him for a two or even lower. So I think now 4 weeks later, a lot of people are sharing your opinion. If that was your opinion at the beginning,
it was.
The Cowboys...
It was always my opinion because of his age and his pedigree.
Right.
I thought at 24... it was worth it because of what, A, his age, B, his pedigree, and C, most important, the need the team has for a downfield threat.
Right, but the immediate comparison of most of the media was, oh, here they go again. Jerry, you know, gave up, you know, two number ones for Joey Galloway, and that didn't work. And he gave up a one and a bunch of other draft picks for Roy Williams, and that doesn't work. You know, they should have taken Calvin Ridley instead of Van Der Esch in the first round, and they wouldn't have had to do this trade. Well, it turns out Van Der Esch is a great player, as we saw in the game against the Eagles, and he's gotten better since then, and that in the right situation now...
He's a revelation, that guy.
No doubt. I mean, he played at Boise State, and I don't even think he played 11-man football in high school. I'm not positive about that, but I know he played in a really small program. But the thing about Cooper is, and I think you can find this with a lot of players that are playing in that cesspool in Oakland, is it's very easy to lose your motivation.
Yeah. That's the key. Change of venue for anybody in a situation like that has got to be an important part of the equation. You get somebody out of what you call the cesspool, and you put them in on America's team, and you put a star on his helmet, and the expectations go up, and you go into that locker room, and it's like the Taj Mahal. It's like going from the D League to the big leagues.
Well, even on just game day, Sal, I mean, the stadium in Oakland is a dump. And then, the stadium in Arlington is, I still think it's the nicest in the league, even though there's a couple that are newer. It's got to add to your motivation. And especially knowing that there's a big contract sitting out there for him. That the Cowboys didn't give a number one pick just to have him for 2 years to play him this year and on the fifth-year option. And there's a lot of money that's sitting there for him. And if you worry a little bit, is that why he's playing so well? Because he's motivated to get the big contract that Jerry Jones has pretty much come out and said he's going to give him. But again, he's 24 years old, like you mentioned, that Jason Garrett worked with Nick Saban in Miami, has maintained a close relationship with him, consulted with him frequently before they pulled the trigger on the trade, was assured by Saban that he was a player worth acquiring if possible. And he's been everything they could have possibly wanted and more. And I just think as he gets integrated more in the offense, the last four games of this season and then going forward, he's just going to be more of a weapon than he is right now. But right now, I think he's really changed the dynamic of that team.
We're talking to New York Times bestselling author Gary Myers. How About Them Cowboys is his new book, but he's got many others. My First Coach, Brady versus Manning, which I think is your best book, Gary. The Catch and Coaching Confidential. Go on Amazon.com and go shopping for a football fan in your family. Gary, congratulations on making your debut on the Sal Pal Football Hour.
It's a box I've wanted to check for a long time. And I'm finally there, and I'm just not sure where else I go from here.
It's a career ender, Gary.
Well, as the Eagles are finding out this season, when you strive to get to the mountaintop, and then you get there.
And it's a little hangover when you get up there, Gary. I realize
there's no place to go but down.
Listen, you got to. Well, I recommend coming to the Mifflin Tavern and getting a chicken parm egg roll because they're terrific. And I'm going to let you go so that I can finish my chicken parm egg roll in the next break.
Take care, Sal. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Gary. Thanks, Gary Myers on the Dallas Cowboys. It's important to delve in to the team and see where they are after coming to Philly and beating the Eagles and then surprising the Saints on Thanksgiving. And so that's what we're trying to do here on the Sal Pal Football Hour, live from the Mifflin Tavern, 1843 South 2nd Street in South Philadelphia. The show is presented by Sterling Vineyards and Behringer Wines. I will be signing my book, Philly Special, The Inside Story of How the Eagles Won Their First Super Bowl Championship, at two places coming up. First, I'll be at the Hallmark store. You wouldn't believe it, right? But Hallmark stores, they sell a lot of Christmas gifts. And I'll be there in Mount Laurel, New Jersey on Friday at noon. And then this fabulous new bookstore, Shakespeare and Company, Walnut Street, Center City, Rittenhouse Square. That's Friday. I'll be there Friday night, December 7th at 6:30 p.m. We'll do a little bit of a book talk, Q&A, and then I will sign copies of Philly Special, The Inside Story of How the Eagles Won Their First Super Bowl Championship. Hey, you're listening to the Sal Pal Football Hour, live from Mifflin Tavern. When we come back,
you're listening to the Sal Pal Football Hour on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, it's Jason Martinez for Window Nation. Time is running out on Window Nation's Deal of the Year. This week is the final week for buy two windows, get two free. Buy four, get four free. Buy six, get six free with no limit. Plus, get 0% financing for 5 full years. Save that well-earned money to splurge on your family, friends, or yourself this holiday season. Temperatures have fallen. You feeling that cold air coming into your home? It's only going to get colder over the next couple of months, and your energy bills are starting to rise. So now's the time to get those windows replaced. Window Nation has saved customers an estimated $40 million in energy over the years. This is the final week of the best offer of the year from Window Nation. This absolutely ends Sunday. Get two free windows for every two you buy. Buy four, get four free, no limit. Plus 0% interest for 5 years. Call today, 866-90-NATION, and save thousands on your windows and your energy bills. Use for holiday shopping this season. Save today, save tomorrow, save forever. Call 866-90-NATION today or visit windownation.com and tell them Jason sent you.
What would it take for you to get a tattoo you didn't want? $1 million? How about 1 million socks? I'm Randy from Bombas. When me and my business partner Dave...
How's it going?
...quit our jobs to start a sock company...
Bombas.
...we wanted to make the best socks in the history of feet. No more annoying seam, no more falling down your leg, added arch support...
You get the idea.
And what's better than creating the best socks in the history of feet?
Sharing them.
This is what we do. One pair purchased equals one pair donated to those in need. Our dream was always to donate 1 million pairs. We thought it would take 10 years. That's why Dave said,
when we donate 1 million pairs of socks, I'll get a tattoo to celebrate.
But then something happened. People loved our socks. And instead of 10 years, it only took 2.5. 1 million pairs.
And one Bombas tattoo on my arm.
Feel the most comfortable socks in the history of feet by going to bombas.com/thefanatic and get 20% off your first order. That's bombas.com/thefanatic.
Real cases from the files of Swartz Culleton.
My name is Pawnee. I was a supervisor and good at my job until I suffered a head injury due to a defective product at work. After the accident, I was just not getting better. Then I called the attorneys at Swartz Culleton. They filed a product liability lawsuit and handled my workers' compensation claim. All the while, they helped arrange treatment with the best doctors. Swartz Culleton fought hard and got me a large cash settlement. Without Swartz Culleton, I don't know if I ever would have won my claim. Now I refer all my friends and family to Swartz Culleton. Swartz Culleton got me justice.
If you've been injured at work, get justice. Call 1-800-JUSTICE. That's 1-800-587-8423. 1-800-JUSTICE. Don't let the insurance companies take advantage of you. Call 1-800-JUSTICE. That's 1-800-JUSTICE.
When the deadline clock is ticking, an unreliable network can cost your business money. That's why you need Comcast Business. Our gig speed network is fast, and we go beyond fast with the complete reliability of 4G LTE backup, which means that even if something like construction accidentally knocks out the power, you can still upload that big presentation, email important clients, invoice customers, and not take a hit to your company's bottom line. For a limited time, switch to Comcast Business and get an amazing deal on fast, reliable internet. Get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add 4G LTE backup and one voice line. Just one more way Comcast Business goes beyond other providers. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offerings 12/21/18. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Connection Pro backup limited to up to 6 hours and requires Comcast Business Internet.
How to buy an engagement ring. Step 1. Place the index finger of your right hand inside your right ear. Step 2. Place another finger inside your left ear. And step 3. Don't remove them until you place yourself inside Benari Jewelers. Because you'll be getting a lot of bad advice from friends, relatives, and even other stores. And you need to not listen to any of it. Instead, give an ear to the diamond experts at Benari Jewelers. Unlike your Aunt Dorothy, we know quality from junk. Unlike your buddy Steve, who can only remember 2 of the 4 C's of diamond buying, we can explain them all. And unlike that guy, Vince, who sells generic rings from the back of his 1987 conversion van, we carry the latest styles and one-of-a-kind designs. So if you're ready to hear some good advice, come to Benari Jewelers in Exton and Newtown Square or at BenariJewelers.com.
M-E-I-N-E-K-E, Money Key.
Stay on the road worry-free year-round. Right now, get 50% off brake pads. Save money on tires, car batteries, and heating system repairs. Visit MoneyKey.com for a total car care center near you.
Off Sal Palantonio, 97.5, The Fanatic. Now back to more of the Sal Pal Football Hour on 97.5 The Fanatic.
South Football Hour live. Mifflin Tavern, 1843 South 2nd Street, South Philadelphia, presented by Sterling Vineyards and Behringer Wines. And my producer, Timmy Mack, just said to me, everything that's come out of this kitchen that we've watched people order has looks phenomenal, looks scrumptious. You got to check this place out. It's got some great food, great spot. Timmy Mack's on the line. How you doing, Timmy Mack?
All good, Sal. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. I know you're busy. You were down at NovaCare today talking to Dougie P. A lot of interesting moments in that game last night. What was the most interesting for you?
I think the most telling for me, at least, would be the Jason Kelce double block to spring Darren Sproles for the 14-yard touchdown. And the reason is that, you know, the offensive line has been dealing with injuries throughout the course of the season that has held this offense back. Jason Kelce suffered a knee injury earlier in the year, hasn't really been himself, but you've been seeing slowly but surely him rounding back in the form, which means he gets to get downfield and he gets to spring people and do what he does best, and that is, you know, pave the way for blockers down the field. Same thing could be said for Lane Johnson coming off the MCL and the high ankle. He's starting to play better, and Jason Peters just continues to tough it out. I think that their improved health is allowing Doug Peterson to rely on them more, which means relying on the run game more, and that's just opening up all sorts of things for this offense.
Talking to Tim McManus, covers the Eagles for ESPN.com, the NFL Nation reporter, and there's a vignette that happened, two of them, actually, last night, and I asked Doug Peterson about it, and in the post-game press conference was, after that play, when Sproles scored, Peterson, who's always reluctant to visit the bench during the middle of the game and turn his back on the field, did so and went and talked one-on-one for Darren Sproles after the touchdown. And they had a moment, and Doug described it as an important moment that he wanted to sort of commemorate, not only for Sproles, after all he went through last year, rehabbing during the Super Bowl run and then being injured all season long, but for the team itself. That, you know, that was an identity move for the team, that it could define who they are and sort of personify the grinding nature of this year after the Super Bowl. I thought that was very telling.
I think I could count probably on one hand the number of players that I've covered that have commanded universal respect out of a locker room and league-wide, and Darren Sproles is one of those guys. I mean, when people talk about Sproles, it's in a different way. And you could see it in the locker room after the game where there was genuine happiness. Like Kelce on that play said he legitimately didn't even know who the running back was when he was paving the way for him. But then when he turned and he saw that it was Sproles, he said that he was elated. And you could just see that sort of filter through, a guy that has really just fought the good fight to get back and try to end his very established career, a distinguished career on his own terms. And yeah, that was no doubt a spark and maybe one that could, help push this team moving forward.
And while Sproles was talking to in the locker room, Timmy Mack, talking to Tim McManus, while Sproles was talking into the locker room, I had my back turned to him because the camera was, recording what he was saying so I could listen to it later. And I watched team owner Jeffrey Lurie come into the locker room with his security staff, and he walked past the knot of reporters at Sproles' locker and went right to Jason Peters and got up close and started talking to him and wanted to assess how Peters was doing, and then patted him on the back of the shoulder and said, just hang in there, everything is going to be cool, and Peters put on one of those bodyguard T-shirts and went on his merry way into the night. But I thought that was also a very telling moment, that the owner was concerned enough about Jason Peters, another guy who has universal respect in the locker room.
No doubt about it.
And making sure that he was okay.
You know, Peters has actually called Lurie his best friend before. They have a really strong relationship. And, and the good news on the Peters front is that...
Yeah, what do you got on that?
Yeah, speaking with Peterson today, he said that while Peters is day-to-day, it doesn't seem like it's going to be any kind of long-term significant injury. He got rolled up on in that game, had to leave early, but they're feeling optimistic about his chances to play, you know, as early as Sunday against the Cowboys, and obviously a very critical game.
It's not a coincidence to me, Mac, that Carson Wentz had his best outside the pocket passing game of the year when you had Golden Tate and Darren Sproles on the field, two guys with quick twitch movement, quickness at the line of scrimmage, guys that you have to account for late in the down. So I think that's an important correlation to make. Those guys on the field gives Carson Wentz the freedom to move, and Carson Wentz's freedom to move allows them to get free.
Yeah, and when you asked about which significant moments stand out, I would say the second one, if I had to choose, would be that improvised play from Carson Wentz to Golden Tate along the left sideline that went for 19 yards.
Yes,
because it showed a level of chemistry that simply takes time to develop. And, of course, it's been a crash course in that way since Tate was acquired from the Lions in late October, where they're really working against the clock to make him kind of integrate into the system. And you could see there that they're finally starting to get on the same page, and that's going to be huge for this offense.
We're talking to Tim McManus, covers the Eagles for ESPN.com, does the job better than anybody in the business. And we're digging deep into what happened last night. And, you know, when I talked to Malcolm Jenkins after the game, he was talking to John Clark of NBC10. And when he was done with the interview, I said to him, is the fight back in the team? And he said, well, it was never really gone, which, of course, is a little bit of revisionist history on the part of Mr. Jenkins. But nevertheless, I said, what did you say when you broke the team down before the game on the field? Because he did it, and I thought that I've seen that group break down before, and Jenkins does the speech pregame. But there seemed to be an intensity about it when I watched it on the field as it happened. And he said, he told the team they're playing for their survival tonight against the Redskins. Now, that's a Super Bowl, two-time Super Bowl champion trying to imbue a sense of inspiration and motivation to a bunch of guys. And when you think about it, Timmy Mac, Tate, Jordan Matthews, Sproles, Wentz, they weren't on the field for Super Bowl 52, and they were the ones that saved the season for the defending Super Bowl champs. And when I talked to Doug Peterson about that after the game, he said, you know, it goes to show you the very difficult nature of repeating when you have all these new disparate parts and you try to put them together on the run like this when you have new players come in and the Eagles are finally gelling offensively to make something happen.
And how about the fact that it's taken every last ounce of will from those leaders just to get this team to 6-6? I mean, this has been one struggle of a season. And if you think a few weeks ago, Jason Kelce calling people out on the carpet saying that the team does not have the proper level of accountability. Follow that up the next week with Malcolm Jenkins saying that he didn't see the necessary fight and the right demeanor out of his team. And, you know, that just really evoked that image when you're talking about what Jenkins was doing pregame, where, and the things that he's saying and the messages that he's delivering. I mean, it has been a struggle this year. You know, I think the effects of the Super Bowl have been real. And, you know, there's been just a litany of injuries that they've had to overcome. And I think, you know, some, an emotional haze in a way that they've had to fight through as well. But, you know, now they find themselves, even though the record is 6-6, where they're right there, both in the division and for the wild card. And maybe they start feeling themselves again a little bit here. They look around and they see the talent. They see the fact that the roster is pretty well comprised of that Super Bowl team. And if they can catch some steam here going, Sal, I mean, they have at least a chance to be dangerous down the stretch.
Timmy Mac, thanks for joining the Sal Pal Football Hour. And I'll see you down in Dallas.
All right, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on, Sal. Take care.
Okay, we have been live from the Mifflin Tavern, 1843 South 2nd Street in South Philly, presented by Sterling Vineyards and Behringer Wines. Devon Givens is coming up next. I will see you Friday night, Shakespeare & Company Bookstore, Walnut Street, Center City, Rittenhouse Square, 6:30 p.m., Friday, December 7th. And we'll be right back here, right, Tyler? Next week, more chicken, parm, egg rolls for Sal Pal Football Hour. We're going to have to buy a whole slew of them. Get a whole platter. I think that's the only way to go next week here. Devon Givens is next on the 97.5 The Fanatic.
This is the Sal Pal Football Hour on 97.5, The Fanatic.